We're in Indianapolis today as part of our election road trip with just 54 days until the midterm elections. The manufacturing industry in the state of Indiana has been on President Trump's mind ever since he won the presidency. Here he was speaking at the Indianapolis plant of the air conditioning company Carrier in late 2016.
Companies are not going to leave the United States anymore without consequences. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'll tell you right now.
Trump was talking at Carrier, whose parent company had just announced that after Trump's urging and a $7 million incentive package from the state, it would keep 1,100 jobs in Indiana out of the 2,000 it had planned to send out of the country. Around the same time, another manufacturing company, Rexnord, also announced plans to close an Indiana factory, putting about 300 people out of work. President Trump expressed his anger on Twitter. Nearly 2 years later, we met one of those laid-off Rexnord workers at his one-story ranch-style home in a middle-class neighborhood of Indianapolis.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Jeremy.
Brian Bossom's Harley is in the garage, and he is in the backyard with his girlfriend and two rescue dogs. Bossom was a machinist at the factory.
Back then, we used to joke around about that was the best job we ever hated. I would do anything for that job now. So,
what do you mean by the best job you ever hated?
Well, whenever you work in a factory, and the day ins and day outs are the same every day, you know, it gets a little monotonous, and you wonder if there's better things out there in life. But then when you lose it, you realize that was the better thing, you know.
What kind of things were you doing in the factory?
Well, I set up and ran machines. We made industrial bearings for conveyor systems and Mercury Marine, a lot of different places.
And you were able to make a good living doing that.
Yes, I was. I didn't realize how good until I lost it. But yes, I was making what a lot of people consider decent money. I had good insurance. I had a 401k. I even had I was vested in a pension, which if I'd had 12 more weeks in when they closed the plant, I would have gotten out. But now I got to wait till I'm 65. If they hadn't closed the plant and I worked, I could have got it at 60. So by them closing and moving the plant, I lost 5 years, you know.
Right now you're in your early 50s.
I'm 52, 52 and a half.
So what happened there? Why did they close the plant?
They seen an opportunity to increase their profit. The value of the stock has become, to me, the root of all evil. And the $60 million to $80 million a year profit that they were making, we were the cash cow. But that wasn't enough. And they could move to Mexico and make $15 million more, all in labor cost.
So it was just about cheaper labor in Mexico.
It was definitely cheaper labor and a way to show the shareholders or whatever that, hey, you're making $15 million more, you know, and it cost 300-400 people their jobs, you know.
What did they say to you when they laid you off?
They brought in a man from corporate, and he got us all together and announced the thing. It was not personal at all. It was, you know, I mean, just the way it was handled, it was business as usual, you know. I mean, it was just shell shock, you know, when they announced it, and then disbelief, and then the hope that something would change, and of course, over time, realized it's not going to change, and people started bailing out, engineers and supervisors, and you know, some hourly people, and it was just a matter to me of holding on, hoping I'd get to December 12th or whatever so I could get my pension now. And then that way I could, the rest of my life, kind of dictate where I wanted to work or what I wanted to do versus being thrown out there like 50, at the time, 51 years old, thinking, how do I start over, you know?
So what have you been doing since?
Well, since I took a... I got some severance, and so with my severance, I took a few months off to get my head together and try to think about what I wanted to do. And then I was actually thinking about, even though I'm old and broken down, but I actually thought about heating and air, and then my girlfriend suggested that maybe I'd look into plumbing, I knew I had a friend that was a plumber, so I contacted him and I went and talked to him and found out he was part owner in a plumbing business, and he offered me a job by the grace of God. So, you know, I've been doing some plumbing work since January, and I'm making, you know, $9 or $10 an hour less, and I don't have a 401k and all that. And that's not to knock this company that hired me. They pay the insurance, you know, we got high deductibles and stuff, but I don't have to pay for my medical insurance.
But that's also a totally different job. Is it difficult to learn how to do that?
You get my age, and I know you're not. You get my age, and totally switching gears is a difficult thing, and it's been real difficult for me. But, you know, by the grace of God and the patience of the company I'm working for and stuff, we're chugging along. So
what's the long-term plan at this point?
I don't know. You tell me. I don't know.
Brian was a member of the union when he worked at Rexnord, United Steelworkers Local 1999. We met the union's current president, Robert James, at the union's headquarters in an old warehouse right next to the train tracks. James doesn't think President Trump's words and tweets did much for people like Brian.
Trump didn't do anything to help the Rexnord workers. They were mentioned maybe once or twice. When Carrier announced his closing, Carrier became a poster child for President Trump, as to where that he told the workers what they wanted to hear. But he hasn't been able to produce anything. Sure, the Carrier people are still here, a certain number of them, and we're very appreciative with what he has done. But he also, we found it amazing that him and his vice president, Mr. Pence, when they came in, could all of a sudden come up with a grant for automation, which causes jobs to be lost. We don't know how many jobs that we're going to lose once that automation starts.
That automation grant makes up $1 million of the $7 million in incentives Carrier got from the state of Indiana, negotiated in part when Vice President Pence was the governor here. Michael Hicks, an economist at Ball State University, says that issue of automation is perhaps the biggest reason for layoffs in manufacturing.
The automation doesn't necessarily mean fewer workers. It means workers with a very different skill. And that tends to move them from rural places to urban places. So it's not simply that the worker is displaced, but the business oftentimes realizes that it's not going to be able to acquire the labor force it needs in a small town America.
Rexnord declined our request for an interview. So did Carrier. We did talk to Andrew Berger, a senior vice president at the Indiana Manufacturers Association, which represents manufacturing companies. I asked him to describe the state of the industry.
We have a lot of growth. Companies are employing a lot of people. Manufacturing is the largest industry in Indiana by a significant margin. Our biggest drawback right now, our biggest inhibitor of growth is a lack of workforce. We've got about 10 to 15,000 open positions any day in manufacturing alone in Indiana. And that's a skills gap, finding people. It's the workers aren't in the right places, or they're just companies are looking to hire people in areas where there just aren't enough people. But otherwise, manufacturing is doing very well in Indiana.
How much of a difference did President Trump going after manufacturers based here in Indiana for leaving and moving to Mexico, how much did that make?
I don't know how much of a difference it really makes. These type of decisions are not done on a whim, certainly. Larger moves, if there's billions, hundreds of millions of dollars at stake, this is long term.
So with less than 2 months until the midterms, what does all this mean for people like Brian Bossom, the worker laid off from Rexnord? He voted twice for President Obama, and then he voted for Trump.
He was the only one that was talking about bringing jobs back to America, you know, trying to keep Carrier from moving all the jobs there. You know, there's some debate on whether he lived up, and I don't think he did, lived up to everything he said he did for Carrier, but he did. He did save some jobs. He mentioned Rexnord and tried to do at least he threw it out there to try to save our jobs. And
he was thinking about it.
Yeah, I know he's more than thought about it. I mean, he brought it out there. I mean, he put it on the table. He mentioned Rexnord, and he got on the CEO that made the decision to cut our throats. So, you know, during the campaign, with him doing that, and candidate Hillary Clinton said nothing about that stuff. Nothing. As a matter of fact, President Obama, who I voted for twice when they announced the closure under his administration, I didn't hear anything about our jobs or carriers or anything. So when candidate Trump brought it to the table, I thought, why would I not take a chance? And I'll tell you the same thing I've told several, that, you know, you ask me today, do you support President Trump? Absolutely. But ask me again tomorrow.
One of the keys to the future for people like Brian is going to be retraining. He's now going to plumbing school once a week. Economist Michael Hicks says workers that can't be retrained for new manufacturing jobs and aren't able to move for a job won't be spending much more of their life working in factories.